Somech lechol hanoflim.
Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Tuesday, January 9th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 28th of Tevet, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. 9 Israeli troops were killed Tuesday in Gaza. 6 in an unintended explosion during a tunnel demolition, and 3 in battles in southern Gaza. The explosion was a result of explosives detonating prematurely. The explosives were supposed to be used to demolish a tunnel in Gaza. According to the Times of Israel, officers at the time were taking reporters out on a tour of a Hamas rocket manufacturing plant, and that's when the explosion happened, and the IDF had to escort the reporters out of the strip. There were 6 fatalities of reservists, including Sergeant First Class Reservist Gabriel Blum, a 27-year-old from Beit Shemesh, Master Sergeant Amit Moshe Shachar, 25 years old from Ramat Yochanan, Captain Dennis Krokmalov Wexler, 32 years old from Beersheva, Captain Ron Efrimi, 26 years old from Hod Hasharon, Master Sergeant Roy Avraham Maimon, 24 years old, a paramedic from Afula, and Sergeant Major Akiva Yazinski, 35 years old, from Ramat Gan. A number of other people were injured, some of them seriously, in this explosion. That includes a prominent singer-actor from the hit show Fauda, who played a special agent on television. Idan Amedi is his name. He is not in life-threatening condition right now, according to his father. The internet has been buzzing about this incident, however. In a different event over in Khan Yunis, 2 26-year-old reservists, Sergeant First Class David Schwartz and Sergeant First Class Yakir Hexter, were both killed, according to the Times of Israel, in a rocket-propelled grenade attack. In another part of the southern Gaza Strip, a young man named Sergeant Roy Tal, 19 years old, was killed during a battle with Hamas fighters. He comes from Kfar Yeshua. The total IDF casualties in the ground offensive now stands at 185. We here at the Israel Daily News Podcast send our hearts out to the families, loved ones, former teachers, friends, neighbors, and the Jewish nation and all of the State of Israel. Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, is marking the first birthday of Kfir Bibas, the youngest hostage still held by Hamas. He presented a cake at the UN in honor of the birthday. Kfir, along with his mother and older brother, were taken hostage during the heinous Hamas attack on southern Israel on October 7th. Erdan emphasized the suffering of the children and highlighted Israel's ongoing efforts to secure their release. There are other global commemorations of Kfir's first birthday happening around the world, including one in Berlin happening next week. There are still 132 hostages in Hamas captivity, although a number of them are thought to be deceased. Senior Hezbollah commander Wissam al-Tawil was killed in an alleged Israeli strike in southern Lebanon. Al-Tawil, the deputy head of an elite unit within Hezbollah's Radwan force, died when a missile struck the SUV he was in. The strike has heightened tensions in the region. The Israeli Defense Forces confirmed strikes on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon, but did not explicitly say that they were responsible for al-Tawil's death. The man is thought to be the most senior member of Hezbollah to be killed so far, and the man played a major role in the 2006 cross-border attack that was the trigger for the second Lebanon war between Israel and Lebanon. This most recent incident may complicate diplomatic efforts. Ongoing border skirmishes and recent attacks have increased the risk of a potential wider confrontation between Israel and Hezbollah, which is working, unfortunately, out of primarily Christian communities in southern Lebanon, which are victim to Hezbollah's presence. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the border city of Kiryat Shmona in Israel and told reservists stationed there that he plans to restore security in that area without going to war with Hezbollah. However, he says that the army is ready if necessary. Last week, we reported on the double bombing in Iran where Muslim pilgrims were visiting the grave of Qasem Soleimani on the fourth anniversary of his death. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard leader had been taken out by the United States in 2019. Some 84 people were killed in the bombings, and the next day, while the world had already begun to speculate that the bombing was carried out by Israel, the Islamic State, otherwise known as ISIS, was actually the entity to claim responsibility for the bombings. There's some analysis online about what the motivation could have been. I'm going to share some of the ideas that make sense. They come from Gianluca Paciani. He says that the attack was meant to hit Shiite Muslims who were performing polytheistic rituals by going to make a pilgrimage or a visit to a gravesite. ISIS is a Sunni branch of Islam, while Hezbollah is a Shiite one, and they take issue with one another's customs and ideas, while both being Muslim. The writer went on to say that ISIS justified its attack by saying Soleimani was responsible for the killing of Muslims, i.e. ISIS operatives, for which, yes, he is known to have been fighting ISIS out of Iraq and Syria, trying to drive them out with his troops from Iran. So just to put some things in perspective for those of you that might not have the background, Qasem Soleimani, Iranian Revolutionary Guard. In Iran, he was out in Baghdad when he was killed in 2019 by the United States. He was actually trying to eradicate ISIS forces from Iraq and Syria, which are both places where he tries to put his proxy forces to operate. So, you know, turf wars, ideological wars, and a really big difference in Islam between Sunni and Shiite. So we're seeing some of that play out right now. And of course, it's always easy to say that Israel was responsible, but it didn't seem like an Israeli attack because Israeli attacks outside of Israel are usually extremely targeted and very specific, hyper-focused. They usually remove one or two people at a time. And in the past, it's taken years and years for Israel to execute them. There's a lot of tracking of these individuals. So, you know, this big casualty number, I saw 84 Iranians killed and I also saw 89 Iranians killed and hundreds others were injured. It wasn't typical. It didn't fit the Israeli narrative. So some of that analysis, I think, is spot on. A former hostage in Gaza, Aviva Siegel, testified today, so that's Tuesday, in the Knesset's caucus for the hostages, stating she witnessed signs indicating that a fellow hostage had been sexually abused by a guard during captivity in Gaza. She said the young woman went to use the restroom and came back withdrawn and upset. She tried to give the young woman a hug, but was prevented by the guard. Siegel also described witnessing the torture of another female hostage right next to her. Siegel was released from captivity during the brief ceasefire that took place in November. She had been in captivity for 50 days. The report mentions that police and Child Protective Services are investigating the allegations that Siegel brought to Israel's parliament today. I'd like to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News Podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good to you. Listener support is literally what helps me continue down this road of independent journalism, especially these days, especially today. Today was a rough day in the news for Israel, and it just, the bad news rolled out throughout the course of the day. It definitely hits us. So thank you all for your donations. Thank you all for your words of affirmation. You can support us by going to anchor.fm/IsraelDaily.news. You can contribute whatever feels good to you. You can also head over to GoFundMe.com/ShannaFold, or you can Google GoFundMe and Shanna Fold, and you can make a one-time contribution for our war efforts journalism there. Anyone who supports will get a handwritten note from me to you at your home address to express my gratitude for your involvement in this production. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at IsraelDaily.news as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. All right, now I always try to end the show on a positive note, and you must know that I searched quite a bit for this story, but the Jerusalem Post does have a great archaeological one that they just released, and I'm so happy to share it with you because I was really scrounging for positive news today. IDF reserve officers, including an archaeologist from the Israel Antiquities Authority, found an ancient bowl-shaped tool used for grinding grain. It was likely used with a pestle, one of those tools that you grind things up in, that you might grind your herbs in, and they still use them today. They found it just outside of the Gaza Strip. Weighing more than 10 kilos, or about 22 pounds, and made of black basalt, the tool is believed to have been used in the past for grinding grains and other products. The discovery highlights the historical significance of the Western Negev as a settlement area with a rich cultural heritage. The officers returned the ancient mortar to the Israel Antiquities Authority for examination and preservation. Now, there is no exact date for when archaeologists believe that this item was found, but the article does say that this comes just a few weeks after other IDF reservists found a Byzantine oil lamp that had been used for lighting a wick stuck in oil. I'm going to read to you a little section here from IDF Lieutenant Colonel in Reserves, Yair Amitsur, who's the commander of the civilian frontline in the division, and Major Reservist Eliashiv Bubat, who both discovered the tool together. Amitsur said this: "It was clear to me that the tool we found was brought here from afar and was probably used in the past in the home of one of the residents of the area to grind grain or other products, which is done with a heavy pestle. We were excited to suddenly receive a greeting from the past and engage in some good news. The tool reminds us that throughout the generations, the Western Negev served as a significant settlement area where a variety of cultures settled. There were also wars in the past, but in the end, settlement always returned and the area again flourished." Israel Antiquities Authority Director General Eli Esquizido actually said, quote, "The war brings us together with extraordinary situations also on the archaeological front. The land of Israel, and in particular the Western Negev, is saturated with history and ancient findings, and the IAA is cooperating with the IDF to preserve them even in a war situation." There's a video of the item that the Israel Antiquities Authority released, and we've cut a piece of it and put it up on our social media at IsraelDaily.news. You can head over to our social media pages and take a look. Pretty awesome. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Tuesday, January 9th, 2023. Tel Aviv has a low of 13 degrees Celsius and a high of 21 degrees. That's 56 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 69 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldaily.news. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off with a prayer and spoken word poem released just a couple of weeks ago with cantor Alana Rosenfeld and Yonatan Kunda. Kunda reached out to me to send this piece of music over. He says that the words are inspired by the unbelievable forces of life that he met through the family of his friend, whose eldest daughter, Noam Shalom, was murdered in the Nova Music Festival on October 7th by Hamas terrorists. The following song and poem is dedicated to her memory. It's called All Eyes. That's at least what it's called in English. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week.
6 a.m. on the 7th of October. Still mourning that morning that will never be over. Our souls on the edge and what they seen ain't subtle. If you're still trying to dry these crying eyes, don't bother the trouble. We've seen clearly now how these ideologies of hate and lies have kept us divided into sides, into left and right, and left us blind. And now that they've crumbled, we're so vulnerable suddenly, but also more humble. As we press this pain like a burning coal to our tongue, so we mumble. If hope is soap, our heart's a bursting bubble. We're running out of air, and there's nothing but this prayer to turn our lives into the light at the edge of this tunnel. From the flaw of preservation to the raw revelation that the cycles of violence are always a lawless hallucination, a senseless sensation that eats at our dreams but feeds us sedation. It's time to hold on tight to that ancient realization that not revenge and not death, only life, always was and always will be what defines our nation. 6 a.m., the 7th of October, still mourning that morning that will never be over. So many neshamot torn from this world in a storm as we search for the throne of the Lord on this bloody dance floor like a lion for his roar. In this jungle of grief, we gotta remember that the only true war is not let darkness turn our hurting hearts into stone.
Malchutcha, malchut kol olami, malchutcha, malchut kol olami, umemshaticha. בכל דור ודור מלכותך מלכות כל עולמי מלכותך מלכות כל עולמי וממשלתך בכל דור ודור מלכותך מלכות כל עולמי מלכותך מלכות כל עולמי וממשלתך
First shove to this snowball of endless love, the will and wealth to keep above the words that rise like a flood to cover everything we ever breathe from. We still believe that every life is a flickering candle of light lighting our way home. Gam kshetetze esh met Hashem vanidom like Aaron, may we find at the bottom of our broken hearts Noam v'shalom v'yom yom. Turn our lives into a deeper and truer
kingdom. Kingdom of freedom.
What's the price for this?
Kingdom of freedom. Malchutcha, malchut kol olamim. Malchutcha, malchut kol olamim. U'memshaltecha. Flee.
וזוקף לכל הכפופים עיני חול אליך.